Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 21st, 2012, episode 342. Good morning, horse people.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Rough as the life in between, and the fence isn't there for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Oh, it's me. I'm sorry. I am a little bit busy doing nothing over here. So good morning, everybody, and I do mean good Tuesday morning. Glenn, you need to remind me when I'm supposed to talk first, because I always forget.
It says right in the show notes, Jamie out.
I know, but I wasn't paying attention. I love Dan Roberts' music, and I'm like, you got to learn in your time in the saddle. I just love that song. I love all his music. So, yeah, well, it's been a crazy 24 hours for me, and unfortunately, my father is in town and has had to come along with me on the adventure that I will tell you about coming up that I had yesterday. It involved a horse, my father, and the veterinary clinic. The hospital.
Oh, that hasn't happened for a while. That reminds me of the old days when he used to pay the bill for the veterinary clinic.
I know. Fortunately, he did not pay for it, or unfortunately for the horse's owner. It was not my horse. I was doing a favor for somebody. But, man, I learn something new every day. You just never know everything. So I'll have to tell you about that coming up here in just a minute. But Jennifer,
gross,
who's on... Oh, it's disgusting. You're going to love it. Jennifer's going to love it. You're going to hate it. It's going to be gross Glenn out first thing in the morning. Awesome.
I have something to do today. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a nice day.
Goodbye.
On today's Across the Pond Tuesday edition, we will be heating up the interweb airways for an all-European guest lineup. First from the gate, our monthly Pony Club update will be provided by Macy Carmen, who is an American pony clubber who's hanging out over there in England, and we'll find out what she's up to. I'm sure there are some great adventures about to happen. And being Tuesday and all, Horse and Country's TV's velvety voice, Victoria Spicer, is here with this week's list of entertaining and educational blogs, videos, and news highlights. Stay tuned for the circus, folks, while I go get some Pepto Bismol. Yeah. I'm getting
ready. So Victoria has a velvety voice, and so that makes ours, like, grady and irritating.
Yes.
And Victoria's hot, too, so, you know, it's not really fair. She's kind of got it all. But we love having her on our show.
Well, my daily winnie goes out to Robin Coblin, who posted on our Facebook page. She said, "Hey, Hit'em, thought you might be interested in this project from the Thoroughbred Placement and Rescue, who is in development of a DVD series on retraining the off-the-track Thoroughbred." It was an interesting little six-minute video that you can find on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Just go over there, scroll down till you find the one from Robin. You can check that out. It's pretty cool. And now it's your turn. Is this the gross part?
No, not yet.
Okay.
This is the cute part, because I'm going to ask Jennifer to post a picture on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And post this picture, and I want you guys to meet my new neighbor. My daily Winnie goes out to Kathy and Eric Moore, my next-door neighbors. They're the ones in the video own the big boat. Remember the boat people?
Yes, that's the thing I really noticed in your video that you posted of your horse yesterday, the nice boat.
Yeah. We posted my horse actually picking up a nice trot. You know, he's unbroke a month ago, so he's doing really well. He's coming along nice, and my arena's in the front next to my next-door neighbor's house. And Glenn goes, wow, nice boat. Like, you see the horse in the video? He's trotting around? I guess not. Whatever.
I'm a horse husband.
I know. I'm well aware. And so you noticed the boat. Well, these are the same people that own the boat. They are a nice family that has decided to kind of live a little more off the land than living in the neighborhood. So they moved kind of out here to the sticks and got, you know, a bunch of chickens, and they're having their own chickens and their eggs and all that. Well, they got a cow to do some milking. Well, my first cup of coffee this morning has fresh cow's milk in it. It is
really?
Actually really, really good. It's called raw milk. And they did wink, wink, nod, nod, go, this is not for human consumption. Don't sue us. So I said, okay. So I'm currently drinking Maggie's fresh milk that was milked yesterday. And just a little bit to start with, because my system's not used to it. And I put Maggie Moo, it's her name, and I put it in my coffee this morning, and it's delicious. I've never had fresh, raw milk, and so Chad and I did it together this morning. We're like, cheers, bottoms up. We're drinking cow's milk from Maggie next door. But Maggie has provided a lot of entertainment for my family. My family being all the horses, because to have a Jersey cow next door who lives is by herself. She is, first of all, very interesting to look at for horses. Second of all, she's very vocal because she's kind of lonely. And so she stands at the fence line and screams at my horses all day. Like, if you go out there and you leave, she screams for you. Where are you going? She screams for the horses. She screams for everybody. Like, I'm by myself. I love you. And my horses,
you know, cows are very herd animals. So, you know, they're not used. That's why you always see cows in twos and not just one.
Yes, well, she's pregnant, so they're going to have two here soon enough. But she's very, very sweet. She licked my face the other day when I went to meet her, and she's a very nice cow, but she's very lonely. And my horses, unfortunately, are not providing any entertainment because they're scared to death of her. She is the scariest just demon animal they've ever seen. However, one of my horses was brave enough to go up to the fence and sniff her. And so that's the picture that Jennifer posted on Facebook was my one horse who would actually make its way up to the fence. And you can see that he's like kind of like leaning on his haunches, like he's ready to bolt at any second, which he did about 5 seconds before I got the picture. So, or 5 seconds after. So that's Maggie. Thank you, neighbors, for
Maggie
my
Moo, a Jersey cow.
She's so pretty. Jerseys have like that eyeliner that goes around their eyes, and
yeah,
they're so stinking
yep.
cute. And she was basically about 4 days ago wild. But now that she's by herself, she like wants attention all the time. So she came from a herd of like 1,000 milk cows. So they went to a dairy and bought her. So they wanted a pregnant cow. So we're going to have a cow baby soon. This summer sometime.
Those are cute. Cow babies are so cute.
I know. Well, I get to watch it and be a part of it. So that means you guys get to be a part of it. So Maggie Moo, our new neighbor, living the dream next door. You can see how high the grass is in their field because they don't have a bunch of horses on it. So she'll enjoy that for a while.
We used to have, we've had fresh cow's milk before. We had fresh goat milk once, and that was very rich. I thought it was very rich. And we're used to drinking the 1% or 2%. So when you get the whole milk like that, it is much different, isn't it?
I'm just wondering, like, this has got to be incredibly fattening because I just put a little tiny bit in my coffee and it feels like I have the thickest creamer that, you know, half and half, like even more than that. So it must be really fattening, but that's what makes it taste so good, I guess.
That's right. Just like chocolate. Just like chocolate cake. And you know what we said about chocolate cake? It's good for breakfast.
That is great. He gives us chocolate cake. That is exactly. It's got eggs and milk in it.
Milk,
I mean, it's perfect breakfast.
And flour.
And wheat,
hey,
or whatever.
Very nice. Maggie Moo. Well, we'll be looking forward to updates on Maggie Moo coming down the pike. Hey, we have an update. Speaking of updates, we have one from my brother who attended the Make-A-Wish. Remember the Make-A-Wish fundraiser? Were you here that day? We had the guy on from Florida in Ocala there where they had the competition between the Western riders and the English riders. Well, that was, I think you were out that day. It might have been Thursday. They had this competition between Western riders and English riders, and they had Pat Pirelli there, and they had Karen O'Connor, and they had some very famous eventers and show jumpers, and then they had some very famous Western riders, and they switched horses, and they had to do each other's discipline. And he went last night over to that event and said it was a lot of fun. He said it took forever to get going because it was a fundraiser, and what they did is they teamed people up into pairs, so there were 10 teams. An English rider and a Western rider on each team, and then they auctioned off the teams for charity. And he said that took about an hour and a half before anything ever got started. He said nobody fell off. Everybody did well. He's posting a video of Karen O'Connor doing a reining test on a reining horse. He did say, and I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but a certain show jumper had a difficult time not being in the Western horse's mouth, and he said it was very obvious that those two were not getting along. And that, you know, Western horses, especially those reining horses, you don't touch the reins. You just sit there. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You just don't tell them what to do. You knew that from doing your little cutting class. Well, apparently this jumper rider was in his mouth, and the horse was having none of it, and there was, it was a little bit of an argument going on there. So he said that provided some entertainment that night and made the show jumpers look kind of silly. But he said nobody fell off. Pirelli apparently did pretty good riding English and did a little jumping course. But otherwise, it was so exciting, I guess, he couldn't remember who won. And I haven't been able to find out who won. I couldn't remember who won. So I haven't been able to find out this morning who won. It isn't in the news yet. So as soon as I find that out, we'll report back who won that competition. But we should have a video that I can post of Karen O'Connor doing her reining test here shortly. And I do have, Jennifer, if you hit refresh, underneath the picture of the Top Gear guys, I have a link to a photo gallery that was put up on Ocala.com of the activities last night and some of the riders. So you can post that link on Facebook if you want to. Another thing, Jamie, coming up tonight is Top Gear. And you've never watched Top Gear, have you?
Yeah, I can't say I've even really heard of Top Gear. What channel is it on?
It's a very, very popular show right now on the History Channel. And it started in England. Is it History, Jennifer? Is it taking a look right now?
It's on History.
It's on History. Okay. It's a very popular show. Started in England, like so many popular shows over here. And it's these three gearhead guys. One's a race car driver, another's a gearhead, and another's a comedian, actually. And they do all of these car challenges every week. And it is a great show. It is a good show. Even if you're not into cars, it's a good show because it's funny and they have them doing the wildest stuff. Well, tonight on the Top Gear episode, you can check your listings for the time on the History Channel, they have two Mustang cars racing two Mustang horses through the desert. And they've done things like this in the past. They had a car race a motorcycle. They've had cars race helicopters. It's kind of cool how they set it up and do it. So I'm excited to see this tonight. It should be a lot of fun. And I am also excited to see, will there be fake Winnie? Will they put in fake Winnie?
I know you want to think that Top Gear is legit and whatever. It does not matter if it is a non-horsey show, they put in fake Winnie.
That is true. Producers just seem to have a need. They have a need because they assume horses must Winnie all the time. They Winnie every minute of every day.
you would think that they would notice when the horse is on the set that really they don't whinny all that much. But you know what? Apparently that's what people need. They need dialogue. They need the dialogue of the horse. So just standing around is not good enough.
So check that out tonight, Top Gear, fake whinny, all for you on Top Gear tonight. And I wanted to talk a little bit this morning, too, Jamie, before you get to your horrible growth story. I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about gas prices. I just paid $3.55 a gallon yesterday. What are you paying for? You have a diesel truck, right?
I have a diesel. I think it's like $3.79 now.
Well, that's pretty cheap, actually. It's approaching $4 a gallon here for diesel. And they say, I just read a couple articles this morning, that they expect that gas prices will hit $5 a gallon by the end of summer and will be the highest they have ever been. Right now in California, they've climbed past $4 a gallon, and they're predicting $5 a gallon sooner, of course, than every place else. And to give you a perspective, gas prices have risen 80% since Obama got in office back, almost 4 years ago. So they've gone up almost 80% in 4 years. So, you know, my question is, and this is always a question that we ask, especially as horse people, the last time gas prices got up this high, horse shows saw a dramatic decrease in the amount of entries in horse shows about 5-6 years ago. And I'm curious, have gas prices started to affect your travel? And if not, at what price do they start to affect your driving habits? What brought it to mind is there was a big sort of farm show here in Kentucky over in Lexington, and it's about an hour and a half from here, over the weekend. And I said to Jennifer, do you want to go over to it? And she said, you know, that's for the, and you don't normally do this, but she said, with our Jeep, that will cost us $30 in gas just to drive there and back. Nobody ever does that in the past. You know, nobody ever sits around and goes, do I not want to drive an hour and a half away because of gas, until it gets to these prices and you actually start to think about how much it actually costs you to go there and back. So if you add the ticket prices then to it, it would have been about a $70 trip to go look at some farm tractors. And we decided not to go. So are you at that point yet, Jamie, where you're considering the price of gas before you do things?
I would love to say that I am, and that I'm that fiscally responsible. However, when I moved across the country to be here with Chad, it was August of like 4 years ago, and it was when the gas prices, I was paying $5 a gallon for diesel fuel to drive across the country to move in with my boyfriend. Okay, so can't say that I'm that responsible. And I was just thinking, like yesterday, I go an hour and a half drive to go to my riding lesson to go ride with Barb Crabo, who lives up in North Scottsdale. So I drove an hour and a half there yesterday. I can't say that, you know, I think what it boils down to, Glenn, is I don't pay for gas. And the reason I don't pay for gas is because I get to the little machine and I stick a credit card in and I pull it out and that's it. If I had to cough up cash for every time I went to the gas station, I would really probably just lock myself in my house. But the fact that
it must cost you $120 to fill your tank more.
What's great is that I fill up and, you know, they only really let you have, I think the gas station that I go to only lets you have $81 at a time. So, I only spend $80 for a tank of gas, even though I probably only get like 3/4 of a tank. But no, I think that I can't say that there's a point that I would drive less, because I just signed up for a competition at 3-day ranch in California. So I really am irresponsible and I should be punished.
No, but I think you're the norm, actually. I think that's normal. Now, would there be a time, would $6 a gallon start to set you back a little?
Oh, it all sets me back. Yeah, no, I mean, dude, of course there's going to get to a point where either I'm going to just drive to Washington and stand outside with a picket sign and be like, lower gas prices. But that's about, you know, there's got to be a point where I would say I can't do this anymore, obviously. I mean, well, there's a point when I can't pay my credit card bill.
Right.
Where is this going to come from?
That's right. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that, but because before, you know, 10, 15 years ago, back, you don't remember this, but back in Carter's time when there were gas lines and they were rationing, you could only get gas every other day, that was by the last number on your license plate. But back then, they didn't have, you know, credit cards at pumps. You were shelling out cash. And probably if you had to take, you know, $100 out of your pocket every time you were filling the tank, it probably would mean more mentally to you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If I was shelling out the cash now, that credit card, you know, I just pay. And then what's really amazing about the credit card is when I go to pay it, I just go online and I just transfer funds into it. So really, I never see any of my money ever. I swear I don't carry any cash. It's amazing. So probably not the best idea, but I know it has affected Jennifer. Has it affected you?
Oh, yes. Miss Frugal.
Yeah, when it got over 75 cents a gallon, it affected me.
Oh, geez. You mean it's not free? I can't just milk the cow next door and put that into my tank? What?
Yeah, can I have a steam-generated automobile, please, so I can just throw a couple of cords of wood in it? Yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer, no matter how hard you try, you cannot wean your car off gas. It just doesn't work.
I do.
You can't do it. So there you go. Post that as the question of the day.
They need to just figure out how we can have this little machine in the backyard that's maybe about the size of a dumpster. And you just put horse manure in one side and auto fuel comes out the other side. We would be in good shape then.
Good luck with that.
They do have composting machines that produce a gas that can be used for fueling automobiles. The only problem is it produces so much methane, it completely negates its benefit.
See, that's the problem with manure, is that whole methane thing.
Yeah.
You guys are over my head now.
It's so the sticky part.
Yeah, we posted that on Facebook, so it'll be interesting to see what everybody says. Now, unfortunately, right now, my dad just walked in the room. And I'm about to tell the story that he was a witness to yesterday, a partial witness. So if you want to leave for a couple minutes, I'm going to tell the story about being in the clinic yesterday because I plan on, you don't, kidding. I plan on grossing Glenn out, but I don't want to regross you out, Dad. So. Okay,
right.
He's been grossed out.
This is a warning for everybody eating breakfast right now. You can turn us off for 5 minutes and then turn us back on.
I know, people, stick with it. I had to deal with it. You should, too. So I've had this horse, one of my boarder's horses. His name is Chili Pepper, and he is, like, the cutest, sweetest paint horse where he takes care of 6-year-olds on his back,
Chili
and he's
Pepper.
15, too. Chili Pepper, he is
Chili
the nicest,
Pepper.
Sweetest paint horse ever. We got him. He was a Rodeo Queen's parade horse, okay? This horse is broke. I mean, broke. And he is a caretaker, and he's very, very sweet. So about 3 weeks ago, Chili Pepper came up with a snotty nose out of his right nostril. Right nostril.
I'm already not liking this.
Oh,
I
this is just... If you're bad now, you just take your headphones off, my friend. So about 3 weeks ago, snotty nose, we treated him with some SMZs, just some basic low-grade antibiotics. No difference. Then I called the vet, and I was like, I think we need something a little stronger. So I went and got a shot. It's called Exceed. It's like Nexel, but a 5-day version. So we stick him with that. And by day 5, it actually cleared up. Day 6, it came back. And when I say snotty nose, Glenn, I'm not talking your general run-of-the-mill, just kind of like a little bit of water coming out of their nose. I'm talking cottage cheese, green buckets. Like, at some points, it would look like somebody turned on the faucet to a slow drip, and it would just run, like, it would just run out of his right nostril. Well, needless to say, by the time, of course, I noticed this, it was even too late to quarantine him. I have a 3-acre property, so it's not like I can keep him away. But nobody else was getting sick. And he wasn't getting any better on the antibiotics. So when they have one nostril affected, you would think, all right, well, he must have a tooth. He must have a bad tooth, and it's growing up into his sinus, and that's what's making him snot. So the vet came out, took some x-rays, and saw a big fluid pocket in the x-ray, but didn't really see anything wrong with the tooth. And then they stuck a scope up there, camera, and took the camera into his guttural pouch and looked at that and looked all up and down his nose. Nothing. They can't find anything. And they can't find anything in the guttural pouch, which is one thing it would be, or it would be a bad tooth. So they're like, well, what you're going to have to do is you're going to send him to the referral hospital where they will have to really get a little bit more aggressive because in the field we can't do this stuff. We need the sterile environment, blah, blah, blah. So yesterday my poor dad, because he's with me, I was like, you want to go to the horse hospital? And, of course, my dad's like, sure, I'll do whatever you want to do. Little did I know, 4 hours in the horse hospital with my dad having to go into the waiting room because what we were dealing with was something a little more challenging. Glenn, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm kind of ready to turn off, take off my headphones. but first, I sort of have to do this after all that. Okay.
Right. You putting paper in your ears.
You have those earplugs, Jennifer. Can you run those over to me quick?
Yeah, exactly. So they take him in.
Okay, so let me set this up a little bit. So we know this has a runny nose. We don't know why. It's an endlessly runny nose. And we know that there's something going on that's going to be in the mouth of the brain, and it's going to be gooey gross. This is not good. Don't tell me you're going to find a great big leech or a worm or something exotic to Arizona that's going to pop out of his forehead.
Oh, that's really gross. That's definitely not going to happen. Okay, good.
An alien.
I got my stomach turning. Yeah, the alien, like in Sigourney Weaver, pops out of her
like
stomach, and just like pops out of his head. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not that. So, carrying on, they take him in and they start doing some x-rays and give him just a tiny bit of sedation because he's so calm anyway. He just stands there and lets you take pictures of his head. He doesn't care. So they're like, wow, there really is nothing wrong with this tooth. He's got an unbelievably uncommon one nostril sinus infection, which is apparently incredibly rare. It's always either the guttural pouch or the tooth. They're like, oh, it's going to be the tooth. It's going to be the tooth. They take the x-rays. It's not the tooth. They even brought a specialist dentist in to pry open his mouth, put it on the headstand, and she's poking and prodding in there, and she's like, not a tooth. Well, there's this huge pocket of fluid in the x-rays located directly underneath his eye, which is where you can find underneath the bone, that's where the sinus cavity is. So they're like, well, we got to drain it. I'm like, and how does one do that? Well, here's what we're going to have to do. And they proceed to get all of the tools ready to drain a horse's sinus. Jennifer, I videoed it, and I have multiple videos.
We're not putting that on Facebook.
But I just took a picture. So this is just a picture of, and it's close up, and it's not really, really disgusting. And you can delete it in 5 seconds if you want, Glenn. We can post a picture. It's just a picture of the vet comes over with this tool. That is like this huge, ginormous power tool looking thing with a very, on the very tip of it was like a really thick kind of needle. Where then she bored through his skull.
Ah.
While he's sitting there, standing up, sedated, they blocked it, they scrubbed it, they cut the skin, and then they bored this hole into his skull, into his sinus cavity. Stuck a catheter, like a big tube, like if you were going to run fluids into the catheter, they ran fluids into this hole that they have drilled in the side of his head, and they pushed fluid through. Oh, my God, the stuff that then proceeded to come out of that horse's nose and out of this hole, there is the with just the needle in there. There was buckets of stuff pouring out of the hole. Then they started flushing it through.
Ew.
It took 3 liters of fluid to clear the snot out of this horse's sinus cavity. Oh, my God. Yeah, the picture that I took, I sent you the most basic one. Jennifer, if you want to see the videos, all you have to do is let me know. I'll send them to you. Or Jamie at Horse Radio Network if you want to see an awesome, awesome video. So he must have had, yeah, like he must have had the worst headache. He must have felt so bad, and he's been so good through this whole entire thing. But literally, they had to bring a trash can and put it underneath his nose to catch all of the snot that was getting flushed out of this pocket up above his teeth. I've never seen anything like that before, and one of the vets in the room had never even done this procedure before. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Did your dad stick around for all this, or did he bail out?
Oh, heck no. He was in. He walked in, and they were like, okay, we're going to have to take some x-rays of his face. My dad's like, I'm out.
I think I would have been out, too. I might have stayed. X-rays aren't so bad. I might have done that part. But when they got the drilly-looking thing out and started saying they were going to drill through his head, I'd have been gone. That would have been it for me.
Okay, to just top it off, this is what's really awesome about this whole thing, is she's like, the vet was like, you're a technician, right? And I'm like, yeah, I've been a tech for a long time. And before any of this happened, she goes, are you squeamish? And I was like, oh, no, I can handle this. Well, I didn't realize that our friend, the veterinarian, was going to leave me with 3 more bags of fluid and some big needles where every 2 days for the next week, I have to stick a needle in this hole into his skull, into the sinus cavity, and flush it myself. She's like,
oh.
you can do this, no problem. This will be perfect. I'm like, are you serious? She's like, oh, it'll be fine. Are you kidding me? You want me to hold up? You want me to do what you just did? Oh, yeah, you can do it. No, I can't.
Board rate just doubled. Board just
went up. Man, did it really? So I called the owner. They're out of town, which is why I had to take the horse.
Of course, they always are.
Of course, they're out of town. I call her, and she's like, "I'm like, when do you get back?" She goes, "We're going to be back Wednesday morning." I go, "Perfect. You're going to drive your butt straight over to my house, and you're going to be with me when I flush this horse's sinus cavity out by myself. I will have pictures, and I will let you guys know how it goes. I am really, I'm a little bit nervous about this. But there is a picture on Facebook. Poor baby.
Oh. Okay, that whole story was just ooh. Just ooh, ooh, ooh. That's all that story was. Really,
yeah.
Makes me have to blow my nose.
She's like, we need to culture the snot. And I was like, where are you going to find it? I mean, I don't know. There's like, literally, it was like you took a muck bucket and you, a whole big muck bucket.
All right,
all right.
Out. That's enough. I think we get the hint. All right, we got the hint. All right, it's good now. And Nancy Clark posts on there, I'm a respiratory therapist. I deal with snot every day. It's very hard to gross me out with this. Thanks, Nancy. You've got me grossed out enough. I don't want to hear about respiratory therapists and what they come into.
Oh, yeah, that's gross. But
well, thank you for that story, Jamie. I really appreciate it. We wish the pony well, but I won't be asking about it too often.
Just say, how's Chili? How'd it go?
Yeah.
I'll say, yay or nay.
Went great.
Didn't go great.
That's all I need to hear. That's pretty much it on that. All right, this sponsor is going to be so happy they joined us today. We have Equestrian Collections Product of the Week, and then we come back with me. What?
I'm like, sorry, Equestrian Collections, didn't mean to lead into that one.
Product of the Week is a little more pleasant than that particular story. And then we come back with Macy Carman out of England. Pony Clubber over there. We're going to find out what exactly is a Pin Promise program. Howdy, everybody. Glenn the Geek back with you. I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week, and we're going breeches this week.
This week, I wanted to talk about the Tough Rider Ladies Rib Knee Patch Breeches. And the reason I picked these out is because I think these are some of the best middle-of-the-line breeches. They're great. You can show in them if you want. You can also, they're great for trail riding. These breeches are fabulous all-around breeches. They're our biggest seller. They're the most comfortable breech I've ever worn. And the fun thing about these is they come in a gazillion colors. for fun, especially this in the spring. You might want to wear purple. They have those. There's all kinds of colors. The sizes are very comfortable. They are stretchy without being tight, and they come in knee patch, and they come in low rise and regular rise, and they also come in full seat.
Well, I think you're right. These make a great medium level breech at under $50. And I want to read a little review that Tricia wrote on your website. She said these breeches are very good quality, fit well, and have a high level of comfort. The material is soft, and the ribbing makes these appear much more expensive than they are. That's a great review.
Yes, yes, we're always happy to hear from our customers.
I wanted to say that, too. On your website, on Equestrian Collections, you can read all the reviews. It's one of the cool things about shopping over there. And you can find these Tough Riders Ladies Rib Knee Patch Riding Breeches at EquestrianCollections.com. Just search for Tough Rider Ladies Breeches, and you'll find them on there, along with the entire Tough Rider line of breeches, which they have some terrific products in addition to these. Check them out at EquestrianCollections.com. Well, I can't tell you how many thousands of pairs of Tough Rider breeches we sold when we had our store, and I know Jennifer loves them, so you can find all of those at EquestrianCollections.com. Check them out over there. Well, we have our first guest coming on here. It is part of our United States Pony Club monthly update, and we have Macy Carmen on the line today, who I'm sure was thrilled that she joined this particular conversation when she did. So, good morning, Macy.
Hello.
I'm so sorry about Jamie grossing you out there.
It definitely took me a minute to figure out what you guys were talking about.
You don't want to know. Don't ask. I don't want to hear it again. I had what once
so
was
listen.
Enough for me.
Here's what happened: is he had an infection
in
his cavity.
Macy, you've been a Pony Club member for how long?
I joined Pony Club when I was 7, so going on 14 years here.
Oh, wow. So you've been in the Pony Club forever that you can remember at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. My sister joined 2 years before me, so Pony Club is my life.
Where were you from? What Pony Club?
The first Pony Club I was in was Fort Casper Pony Club in Casper, Wyoming, before we moved to Montana. And I'm now a member of Five Valleys Pony Club in the Big Sky region.
Cool. And now you're also part of the National Youth Board, right?
That is correct. I spent the last year as chair, and in January at the annual meeting, for some reason, everyone allowed me to become chair. So that's been a really exciting thing. And then I sit on the Board of Governors as well.
So what is the National Youth Board in Pony Club? What do they do?
The National Youth Board is a group of representatives from areas. The areas make up a couple of regions grouped together. And our job really is to bridge the communication gap between the members and the Board of Governors. In the past, we have felt as members that what we want and need as really the focus of the organization hasn't been being met. So the National Youth Board was created a couple of years ago to try and increase communication and really impact the organization to be what we want and need it to be.
Well, that's really cool. And obviously it's a great idea to have that when you're talking about a group made up of youth anyway. Now, you're starting something. I want to get to talking to you about why you're in England. But first, I want to talk to you about you're spearheading a PIN Promise program. And I have no idea what a PIN Promise program is. Tell us about that.
Yeah, not a lot of people do yet. It's been kind of under wraps. But the mentality behind it is that Pony Club creates a lot of the professionals throughout the horse world. And as a Pony Clubber, I'm very proud of the person and rider that Pony Club has made me to be. And I know that within the Pony Club community, we recognize our alums. You know, we brag about them. But there's not a way for people who aren't within the Pony Club community to recognize who was once in Pony Club. And so I really want to, this whole campaign really, is to get current members and alums and volunteers to wear their Pony Club pins, you know, while they're out competing, while they're teaching a clinic. I mean, truly the best advertising as an organization that we have is our members, you know, what they're doing now and what you know, our alums have gone on to do. So
what is the pin? Is it the Pony Club emblem?
Yeah, there are little blue and gold pins, and from when you very start in Pony Club, you get a pin, and you have to wear it to every meeting, mounted or unmounted. You have to wear it to all the competitions. You keep extras of them in your rally kits. I have more Pony Club pins than I could care to count. You know, I have every.
And you're right. Every time we got to rally, you're absolutely right. Every time we got to rally, there were always kids looking for their pins, going, "Oh, I can't find my pin." And then you're borrowing pins from somebody else. It happens every rally.
Yeah, my mom still has, you know, Pony Club pins in her glove box, and they are everywhere in my house. But we really want people to continue to wear them, even if they aren't at a specific Pony Club activity.
Do you still have your pin, Jennifer? You still have your Pony Club pin?
I have several of them, yes.
And you do wear them occasionally when we go out to horse events, don't you?
Well, they're part of my pin collection that I keep on my hats. So absolutely, I've got ones I've gotten from foreign Pony Clubbers. I've gotten ones, I think I still have some DC ones that I traded out because I'm a bit of a pin trader anyway. So they're absolutely a very proud part of my pin collection.
I'm glad to hear that.
So what you're trying to do is encourage the alumni, especially, and current members, to wear them when they're competing and to wear them just around?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some of the other sports have recently published articles in the Chronicle and stuff about how they feel that really the horse industry is suffering due to the lack of horse management that is taught to kids these days. And I think Pony Club has something to offer these people, and people just don't know about it. So I think members of Pony Club, no matter what rating they are, no matter how much time they spent in Pony Club, you know, should be proud of being involved in Pony Club. And as an organization, we're proud of them. It goes both ways.
I just have a whole lot more encouragement for the horse world and the upcoming people in the horse world after hearing you talk today. Now, and I love this program. I think it's a great idea because there are so many very famous riders that are graduates of Pony Club in England and here, which leads me to my next question. Why are you in England?
I am actually studying abroad this semester. I'm a junior in college, and why not?
That's good. Point.
Yeah, go
good.
Girl.
So where are you at in England?
I'm currently in London. I'm living in central London, which is a whole new experience for me. I am from Montana, and moving to Virginia was a bit like a foreign country when I first went there. You know, everyone had an accent. They had new words like y'all, and but I'm in a whole nother league right now.
So they didn't have any subways in Montana?
No subways.
You've never taken a tube before?
I'd taken them in D.C., never on my own, though. So.
Well, and you're there at a very exciting time with them preparing for the Olympics in London. What's that been like?
I find it fascinating. You know, as a little kid, I always wanted to go to the Olympics to ride. So I've always been absolutely fascinated with the culture behind the Olympics. And it's funny to be here, though, because none of the British people are excited for it because it's going to interrupt their lives and traffic is going to be terrible and they're pretty negative about it. But I got to see the Olympic medals. There was a display in a museum and I went to that. And there are these really funny signs in the tube that have horses riding the escalator talking about how you need to be prepared for transportation changes during the Olympics, and I'm hoping to make it out to the park soon to see the equestrian venue.
Well, that should be fun. Will you be there all the way through the Olympics, or are you coming home before then?
Sadly, no. I have to come home in May.
Gosh, you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Now, you'll be there for the Queen's celebration, though, in April.
Don't know. I know I'll
be
here for the Windsor Horse Show. I don't honestly know about the Royal Jubilee.
Have you gotten a ride at all in England, or are you stuck in the city?
I have not gotten to ride yet. I have made it out of the city a couple times, but I have worked out an agreement with the Pony Club in Hyde Park that if I go help them clean stalls on Friday morning, I get to ride. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, and being in London, because I've never actually been there, how accessible are riding facilities?
I have not seen any, just in the little bit I've done wandering around, other than Hyde Park. However, there, you know, when you Google it, there are absolutely 1.5 million barns that come up. And especially in the areas right around London that are just an easy train ride away.
God, I love having trains. That is just the coolest thing. Why don't we have that in the U.S.? We're talking about gas prices. These people have got it figured out. Hop on a train and take it to the barn and get back on the train and go home. Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. Go ahead, Jake.
Has it been easy for you to figure out getting around being a Montana girl and then living up there in the Northeast? Has it been easy for you to figure it out, or are you constantly asking, where am I, help? I need a map.
Actually, I have discovered about myself, I did not know this before I came here, but I have a pretty good sense of direction. And the group of students that I'm with automatically puts me in charge, which I know is going – yeah, I'm going to lead them definitely the wrong way one of these times, but it hasn't happened yet, so.
Yeah.
Are you an eventer?
I am an eventer.
Well, it's good you have a good sense of direction. She won't be getting lost on the cross-country course, at least.
There was a reason I went someplace where all the signs were in English, though.
You're not in Japan, I noticed, so that's good.
No.
Well, Macy, this is great. I really appreciate you giving us a call all the way from jolly old England. And our next guest is also from England, from Horse and Country TV, which is a station that you get over there and get to watch all the time. So,
yeah.
And I want to mention the website. It's ponyclub.org. You can check out all the information there. If you have kids age 7 to 15, 16, even a little bit older than that now, you can check out Pony Club for them, and you'll find all the information you'll need at ponyclub.org. And they will end up as confident as Macy, getting around the city by herself.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, thanks, Macy. Take care. That has to be challenging when you're a really Montana girl, and you end up in the middle of London. With the buses and
the
traffic and the tubes and the everything else, just trying to figure out how to get, that's got to be someone. I think I'd be intimidated now.
Just using the word tube is foreign to me, and that's what they call trains, so, or whatever, the subway. What an amazing challenge. I mean, Chad and I are trying to plan our trip to Spain. And we're trying to figure out kind of how to get from one point to the next point, because on our second week we're going to travel around. And I literally was like, we could just go somewhere and stay. I'm fine. I don't need to try. Because it's so frustrating and scary for me to attempt to plan trying to get around somewhere and booking the hotels. It scares me. He's like, oh, it'll be fine. Because he's traveled the world a million times with the military. So nothing intimidates him. I am completely intimidated. And being without him in London, without somebody to guide you around in London, she is an amazing, amazing young woman. How impressive was she?
Yeah, she was. And I win. I'm just saying that. That's an inside joke. But I'm just saying, I win finally. Just saying.
Listen.
That's
you
real.
Didn't
Let
win
it go
anything.
At that.
You didn't
Jennifer
win
won.
Anything.
Jennifer won finally.
Epic fails many, many times in the team category, and today was better. I give you that, but you got a long way to go to catch up.
Good job, Macy. Good job. Our
he
song
awesome.
Today is a new one called Cowboy Girl by Marianne Kennedy off her new This Love of Horses CD, and we're going to be back with another English voice, the lovely Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. And I've totally lost my song here. It's here somewhere. I know it's here. There it is. Sorry about that.
La, 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 la. I'll just sing.
Nope.
watched them every Saturday morning. I knew right then it was the life that I wanted. Thunder and hooves across the western landscape. Lots of little girls dream of living life that way. Young lady, that's the life for me. In a perfect world, I wanna be a cowboy girl. Living with my horse and driving those cattle. The cities, 'cause that's where I'm gonna go. It's our job to herd them and keep them safe. It's a lot of work, but when you love it, it's a lot like play.
And that is Cowboy Girl by Mary Ann Kennedy off of her new This Love of Horses CD. You actually caught me eating M&Ms, Jamie. I wasn't
Why
expecting
are you
the
eating?
Song.
It is almost 10. It's not even 10 o'clock in the morning your time, and you're eating M&Ms.
It's time for chocolate. It's 10 o'clock. It's time for chocolate. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
You are such a girl.
You know, the problem I've got is I got this redneck wine glass. When we were at Ada, remember we talked about the redneck wine glass? It's the mason jar on a stem.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be really cute to put peanut M&Ms in it, and it is really pretty. I even took a picture and posted it on our Facebook page a while back. The problem is there's damn peanut M&Ms in it. Hear them?
Yeah, I do. And what I do hear is not a full glass of peanut M&Ms. I see here a few peanut M&Ms in the bottom of a glass.
That's pretty much it. Yep. Right.
See, I know your husband. I know him. And
he's good for you.
Oh, jeez. Peanuts.
I have the video from, I was just watching, of Karen O'Connor riding her test at the show last night, riding her reining test. So I'm going to post that on our Facebook page right now so everybody can check that out. So why don't you reset while I do that?
Yeah, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Equestrian Collections. And I just wanted to let everybody know, we talked a little bit about the Olympics with our last guest, but, you know, talking about eventing and Olympics, the UK has an eventing blog, and I was reading it today, and I did not realize, you know, obviously, Mary King won first and second in our American four-star Rolex last year, and she's first and second, so clearly she is qualified for the Olympic Games. She's got one or two horses that are qualified. Then comes the name, you know, you've got Tina Cook is trying to make it. Pippa Funnel is hoping to get their qualifications in. Ruth Edge, Polly Stockton. Lots of Great Britain riders are getting qualified. Well, there's one man that has already qualified, and his name is William Fox Pitt. Did you know that William Fox Pitt has qualified 9 horses for the Olympic Games? 9.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
I have goosebumps thinking about that. Okay, people work their whole life. I mean, and how many failed attempts to get to the Olympics? And, you know, you finally scratch your way up and you get there and you finally get that one horse qualified. And you're just, I mean, you're the bomb if you get a horse qualified to the Olympic Games. Okay, he's got 9. 9. It's like nothing anymore. The guy is flipping amazing. So he will probably, most likely, be at Rolex this next year as well. So he's worth going to watch because the guy is like 6'7". He's so tall and he's skinny as a rail and he just is such a beautiful rider. So William Fox Pitt, congrats. 9 horses qualified.
Wow, that's terrific. That is terrific. Hey, we have an update here on the gas price question of the day. We asked what will the price of fuel have to be to go to get to for it to affect your driving habits? And Jamie said that she's hard and she doesn't even notice it and she's fiscally irresponsible. So and I said that sort of started to affect us already. And I think that you're in the minority, actually. I thought you would be in the majority, but I think you're in the minority. Everybody that's posted so far today, Rick said, I just bypassed the chance to photograph a wagon train going across the state of Florida this week because I figured out the gas would have cost between $1,000 and $1,200 to travel from here to Florida and back. And he's probably about right. Susan said, during gas rationing in the Carter years, I lived in Tucson, gas stations not only had quotas, they had strict operating hours. That was right, and that's why the lines were so long. Kathleen said it's already it's factoring into how much we show and how far we go for events. Meg said that she sold and got a new car that got 40 miles to the gallon because of this, and her truck sits doing nothing except for transporting horses when she has to. Florence said her driving habits have already been seriously affected. She's afraid her children may have to start riding the bus, and we only live a mile from school. Okay. First of all, Florence, I'm not picking on you specifically, but when I grew up, and maybe this is the old walk through the snow to 10 miles to school thing, no mom ever drove their kid to school. You took the
bus. Especially a mile.
I don't know anybody that got driven to school. And now the line goes around the block of the elementary schools now with parents driving their kids to school. When did that start?
Well, I don't know because I walked to school and I walked home. And even there was a point where I wasn't allowed to ride with my friends who had cars because I was not allowed to get ride with other teenagers. So I would have the other teenagers drive me home from school and then drop me off about 2 blocks from my house and then I'd walk the rest of the way. But we would walk a mile. That's nothing. Nothing. And it's good exercise. But you're right. These traffic jams around elementary schools, and maybe it's a safety thing. Maybe people don't want their kids walking to school anymore because of, like, craziness. Is that possible?
I think that's probably part of what started it, I'm sure. But then, you know, there's always the bus. I guess buses, you know, aren't considered very safe now either. I don't know. I don't know. But it looks like everybody that is posted there said that they are definitely affected already.
I'm so irresponsible. My poor husband.
You slupper.
You know, I got to say, though, Glenn.
Do you actually pay the credit card bill? I'm just checking. Do you pay it?
What do you think? Glenn, you know, doing a internet podcast radio show about horses is big bucks. And I, of course, have no limit to my credit card bill. I just spend, because, man, we are cashing in on this gig.
Finish the sentence.
It's so funny.
Speaking of which, if you have a company and want to sponsor the show, we have lots of openings available. Please contact us. Glenn with 2 N's at horseradionetwork.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Keep us employed.
I posted Go ahead.
No, you, please.
I was going on. I posted the Karen video, so that is on the website or on the Facebook page right now of Karen O'Connor writing her rating test. She did pretty good. I was impressed that she did as well as she did. It is very tough, and you saw this on the Rider Rainer thing at the WEG, where all of these English riders are getting on and riding reining horses. The real tough part for them is the sliding stops, because they're just not used to sticking their legs straight out in front of them, you know, which is how they do that. And, you know, it's just a whole foreign thing when you're an English rider, and that is the thing you see affected the most. Spins, well, they're used to doing spins because they're riding, you know, crazy thoroughbreds sometimes, and you end up having to do spins, so you get used to that. But the sliding stops are the tough ones.
You know what, though? I got to say that watching this video makes you realize that Karen O'Connor could ride a fence post, okay? So it's just almost flawless, and I don't think she's had a whole lot of experience reining, but she did fantastic. I love the fact. Did your brother film this?
Yeah, he was behind a post.
I was going to say he's behind a pole. he didn't get a great view. But no, she's pretty awesome. Like I said, she could ride a fence post. Flying lead changes are nothing, which I can't see because she's behind the pole.
Hey, I got, before we go on to Victoria, and we'll do that in a second, I just got a text from Dr. Wendy Ying, host of the Driving Show, and she is saying that she has a special guest booked for today. And I don't follow The Bachelor, but apparently the one girl on The Bachelor, whose last name is Cox, I believe, is a horse girl, a serious horse girl. And on the episode last night, they went to Ocala, where this girl is from, and Wendy knows her parents. And they apparently, The Bachelor came, and they filmed them doing horsey things, including driving and all kinds of horsey things. Well, Wendy said that she has the father coming on the driving radio show today. So we're going to hear all about what that was like, having his daughter on that show, and also what it was like to have the film crews come and do the whole farm thing in Ocala. So that's who our guest is going to be. She's very excited to get him on.
That's a really long text message.
It was by, you know how, I don't know how it works on the iPhone, but on the Android phone, when the text, you guys on iPhones, you can just keep typing and typing and typing and typing. So when long ones come in, I get like 6 texts that just stack them all up. They just break them up. And that one was about a five texter.
Okay, so that was a really long text message.
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure, because that was a lot of stuff. That's cool. It's kind of like my brother's sister's girlfriend knows this guy who knows this girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. Must be pretty
That's
serious.
Right. All right, Victoria is ready.
Sorry. Okay, Victoria, save us. Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV joining us as usual every single week. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. How are you both?
Well, we're great. I've learned not to say good morning because it is like 8 o'clock in the morning my time, but it's middle of the day for you. So how is everything going over there in jolly old England?
It is going well, apart from I am incredibly stiff today because I had a jumping lesson on Sunday for the first time in almost a year, and I can't move, so I'm stuck at my desk now. It's not good.
First of all, why haven't you jumped in a year? And second of all, tell us about your lesson.
Well, about 11 months ago, my lovely little thoroughbred went out in the field and decided to have a fight with the wire fence and scraped half the skin off his hind leg. So he's missed his entire six-year-old season, and he was on box rest for months. He finally, I've sent him away about 100 miles away to a really nice ex-racehorse expert training yard. And so they turned him out and let him heal and then brought him back to work. And I've got him all fit, and he's going beautifully. So I've just been going up once a month or so, because it's quite a long journey, and having a little lesson, mostly on the flat. But on Saturday, I drove up, and I had one more lesson, this time over jumps, and then I brought him back down on Sunday. And, so he's back home now, so I'm going to be riding 6 times a week again. Thank goodness.
Wow. Okay, so what I get out of that is, like, your horse is Joey and Warhorse.
He's just he's a little thoroughbred, and he's got four white stockings, and he's got beautiful limbs, and now he's got big scars all over one of his hind legs. So I'm hoping that the skin and the hair grows back, because it's a little bit pink looking still. But he's back to full health and feeling very good in himself, and he's grown from being six to now being seven. He's just grown and filled out, and he's licking a bit more like an eventer instead of a racehorse.
I was going to say, do you have plans to event him, or is that what he did before he hurt himself?
Before he hurt himself, I'd done some dressage and some jumping and a little bit of ex-racehorse showing. And I'd taken him cross-country schooling for the first time, and he loved it. And then, of course, a few months later, when the eventing season comes around, he's then injured. So I'd like to take him cross-country. I think that's probably his job in life, but we will see. Depends
Isn't
how brave
fun?
I'm feeling.
So it's not the horse, it's you.
Exactly,
well,
it is.
I love getting a new horse and trying to figure out what they want to do. You know, it's not always about what we want to do. It's most of the time, what is this horse going to be happiest doing? Because he's your buddy and he's your friend, and you love him and you want to keep him happy as well as you. So you find what he wants to do, and good for you for sticking with him and getting him all healed up and getting back to work. And I wish I had a magic way for you to not be sore anymore. I guess ibuprofen would be my suggestion.
Yes, I think so. I think that's the best plan.
Advil, baby. Advil. Hey, tell us a little bit about what's going on. I know I saw that Zara Phillips wins again. Tell us about that.
Yes, but the former world champion event rider hasn't been winning in eventing in the last few weeks. It's a point-to-point, which is an amateur race over here. I don't know if you have much point-to-pointing in America, but she has a couple of horses that she trains for point-to-pointing, and she's just had a winner with a new horse. So great for Zara, and hopefully she's going to get back to winning in eventing as well.
Well, now explain to us what a point-to-point is.
Well, in Britain, we have our racing divided into jumps racing and flat racing. And jumps racing is really, really big over here. There's much more money in flat racing, but there's a real love for jumps racing. And point-to-pointing is amateur jump racing. So they have to be thoroughbreds, and there it's all kind of tied in with hunting and things like that. But yeah, so the riders just take them round the same size of fences that you'll get in jumping, and it's terrifying, and I can't imagine anything scarier, but it's lots of fun.
gotcha. Now, I also read on your website that you guys have a charity auction going on.
So we spoke about the charity last week, which is the group of farriers who are going out to Egypt to look after all the working horses there who have just been finding things tough with the economic downturn. Less people are going to Egypt, and so the horses some of them are being neglected, and their feet aren't getting attended to, which is obviously making their working lives much harder. And so the group that are sending these farriers out have set up a charity auction, and they've got all these top riders to donate one of their lessons for free, and then everybody bids for it, and the money goes to this cause. And some of the riders are just incredible. I had a quick look through this morning, and there's John Whittaker, Mary King, Emile Faure, all these Olympic riders, and it's already getting quite high up. So I'm wondering who's going to be the most popular rider, and just how much money are people going to spend to have a lesson with their favorite rider.
Now, is William Fox Pitt on that list?
He's not, I'm afraid. We've got Clayton and Lucinda Fredericks, who are down in that area, and they're very popular as well. But no William, I don't think.
Okay, I would ride with Clayton too. But I was just reading that that William Fox Pitt has qualified 9 horses for the Olympics. 9.
Yes, indeed.
That's ridiculous.
It must be 9. I think he's got quite a good chance of being selected. Nine times more than a lot of people.
Can you ride more than one horse in the Olympics? Do they do that?
No, I don't think so. I think you can only have one, but it must just give you so much backup that you can be confident if something goes wrong, you've still got a whole lot of other horses to choose from.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine, like, your team is William Fox Pitt, and William Fox Pitt? That'd be awesome. He would definitely win the individual on y'all's team.
He would.
That would be a quick change. And now William Fox Pitt comes back in again. Okay, that's way more entertaining to me than it is you, I guess. Tell us what else is going on up there before we let you go.
Well, talking of eventing, there's just been an announcement that there's going to be a First Nations Cup series in eventing, which is something that you're quite used to seeing in show jumping. And so there's going to be a series with events. There's one in Britain, one in Poland, one in Germany, and then one in Italy. And then finally it culminates in the Netherlands, and the points will kind of build up in this series. And it's quite exciting. And there's also one in France just coming up next month. And it's good for riders who want to get team experience and represent their country, but who maybe aren't going to get selected for the European Championships or for the World Championships. So I think it'll be interesting to see who gets selected and how well it goes down and how well the format works in eventing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I know that you guys are actually broadcasting some of our competitions. The World Dressage Masters from Palm Beach are on in the UK right now, correct?
They are indeed. They're on tonight at 9 o'clock in the UK time, and I think lots of people are going to be tuning in to watch those.
And exciting enough, there's another Team Fredericks training series, the British Masters Show Jumping. So you've got plenty to watch over there. It's horseandcountry.tv, and please check it out. It's a great way to spend your afternoon. But our connection's getting a little worse, Victoria, so I'm going to let you go. But thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Have a great week.
Thanks, Victoria.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Take some Advil, drink Diet Coke. Caffeine and Advil seem to help me.
For some reason, we only get about 10 minutes with her, and then the connection goes to pot. I don't know what the story is there. I don't know why that happens every week, but it really did get bad. And yet, you know, when Megan called the same way, or when Macy called the same way from London, she was fine. I don't get it.
I don't know either. I don't know. Hey, speaking of Macy and teenagers, I've got a teenager that we need to book on this show. Jennifer, you could write this down. 14-year-old Victoria Colvin. 14-year-old Victoria Colvin. I want her on the show because she just made some cash. And when I say she made some cash, she won the, I don't know what it stands, WCHR Palm Beach Hunter Spectacular at Wellington's Winter Equestrian Festival. Her horse's name, I love this. Her horse's name was Way Cool. And she edged out the last year's winner, all these top names. And 14-year-old Victoria Colvin won $50,000. $50,000! Got him in the wrong sport.
How much were you making in horses at the age of 14? Just asking, just saying.
Oh, please. I was trying to feed horses on the weekend so I could help pay for my board. And it never evened out. Never.
She actually came in third, too, in that class, by the way.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous.
First and third. And then there was a 17-year-old down there that took a $32,000 WEF Challenge Cup Friday against 34 other horses, and she finished first, third, and fourth.
Good Lord. That's amazing.
Reed Kessler,
amazing.
Out of New York, first, third, and fourth, 17 years old. Bright futures ahead, and a little cash in the bank. Speaking of which, your dad... you know, was so used to you winning all that money when you were a teenager. was so excited about you being in horses. Is he there? I got to find out. We haven't heard his voice. We haven't heard the accent on the show in a long time. Can he come to the mic?
Yeah, sure. Come on over, Dad.
One wants to say hi.
Oh.
He looks like he just... like Dad, this is like literally two people are listening to this, so you shouldn't be nervous. Here, I'm just going to give you the headphones. Glenn, I'm just going to hand it over to you, okay?
All right, good, good. Well, howdy, Gene. How are you?
I'm sitting on top of the world, Glenn. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. You know, we were just talking about this this girl who is 14 years old, winning $50,000 in a class in Florida. I'm sure it was that way with Jamie when she was younger, wasn't it?
No, she cost me $50,000 when she was 14. So, no, not exactly the same thing.
She's still dragging you to vet hospitals and things. She told us about your adventure yesterday. I got to tell you, I would not have hung around in there while they were doing that either. That I would have been so out of there. No way I'd have hung around.
Well, to be truthful with you, it was fun being with my daughter, but that's probably not the most fun day I ever had. But to spend time with my daughter, I'd go to a hog killing. So it's just just like being with her.
So while you're out there, I heard you're going to do a little trip while you're out there and have some fun.
Yeah, I am. In about an hour, we're going to pick up a car from Hertz, and I'm headed down to Tombstone, Arizona. Want to see where Ryder hung out, and going to Wilcox, Arizona. The Rex Allen Museum is there, and next door to it is the Marty Robbins Museum. So I'm going to go hit both of those and probably spend the night tonight in Tombstone, Arizona, and I cannot wait. And then
well,
I'm going to be.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, then I'm going to head up to Sedona and then hit the Painted Petrified Forest and then come back here and spend a little bit more time with Jamie. So I'm excited about it, Glenn. I miss my little girl.
Well, I can understand that. And I get to talk to her. I probably talk to her more than you do.
Yes, you do. We talk. we probably average about every other day talking, but you do get to spend more time with her than I do. So I'm jealous of you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you letting her do this. I do. Now, we're talking about her like she's 14 years old. You know that, don't you?
Yes, well, she's always going to be 14 to me. So she doesn't
were
like
you a
to
big
hear
Western,
that.
Were you a big Western Bert, movie fan?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Are you a big Western movie fan?
Yes. I have a collection of them, and, you know, I probably about 100 DVDs, all Western, you know, John Wayne, but I just love the old Western, and all my neighbors come in and borrow them, and they love them too, but no, I love the movies, and we've got movie posters hanging in the house from Have Shane and The Searchers and those sort of things.
He has a life-size stand-up of John Wayne in his living room.
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. The Duke is always with me. So,
are you wearing your six shooters right now, or did you leave those at home?
No, I got my pajamas on right now. but no, I'm just so excited that I do love listening to y'all. I don't get to listen every day, but I just love listening to you good folks, and I appreciate sharing time with my daughter with y'all.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate that, and we need all the listeners we can get. So if they're related, it's even better.
Well, Glenn, I look forward to seeing your partner, and y'all just have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you, Gene. Appreciate it. You have a great time down there in Tucson.
I'm going to, partner. Thanks so much.
All right.
There's Jamie. That was Gene.
Yeah. First of all, I would like to point out that he would never have to go to a hog killing to hang out with me because I would not be at a hog killing.
I was wondering where that came from. That was kind of out of left field. I figured that was a Southern euphemism.
Yeah, I guess it is. Then I would also like to point out that what was the museum trigger on? Rex Allen. Marty Robbins?
Rex Allen.
It doesn't matter because nobody else is going to be in those museums. I don't even know who those people are. Do you, Glenn?
Yes, I do, actually. I do.
Oh, that's right. You're old, too.
I'm old. Got to remember, I'm old. I'm probably about the same age as your dad. Well, maybe not quite. But
No, I don't think so. Not close. But, yeah, that's creepy to think about. So don't ever say that again, Glenn.
I think he's going to have a great time. I just love that accent. And every time I hear him talk, I think, how did you lose yours so well?
Again, born and raised in the city, but you know what? It's going to be really bad is that I'm spending a whole week with him. So Monday morning, it's going to be, the start of the show. You're going to, I'm Glenn McGee. And I'm Jamie Jennings, Phoenix, Arizona. And y'all's listening to Horses in the Morning on Horses.
We're going to have Monday to have a challenge. We're going to have a challenge to see if you can do a whole show in your southern accent.
Oh, it would not be hard, my friend. It would not be hard. I'm slipping into it just even thinking about it. So I need to.
We're going to have to do that. That'd be fun. We're going to have to make a big deal about it. And it's going to have to be on a Friday during Really Bad Ads.
I read all the Really Bad Ads in southern accents anyway. Just reminds me. Never mind. My dad's in here. I shouldn't slam southerners.
You are one. You can slam them. You are one. So I'm sure he was thrilled then, with his love of Western movies. He was probably thrilled when you moved to Arizona just so he could come out and do what he's going to do this week.
You know, I never thought about it, but he actually encouraged me to move here. So maybe there's something to do that's like, well, you're going to move somewhere. Well, obviously, can't move up with them damn Yankees up in the North. I mean, my God, I would be disowned if I moved there. So I guess West was the less of a problem.
That's probably true. That's probably true. Well, that's about it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. I have a listener that sent in a crappy list for me to go over. Robin sent in a list that's actually about horse stuff, and she says it's a non-crappy list, and we'll let the listeners decide what kind of list this is, but it's kind of fun. I'll have that for tomorrow. We have some great guests lined up for the rest of this week, and I'm trying to book a guest here to help us in our decision-making for who we're going to pick as our adopted racehorse for the Kentucky Derby this year, so I'm hoping to book her this week, too. So we got some surprises coming up later in the week.
All right, sounds good. Well, everybody have a great day. I'm going to go give poor Chili Pepper some TLC and some attention and try to clean all the snot off of his nose right now. So y'all have a great day. Y'all have a great one. Everybody please spay, neuter, and geld.
All I have to say is, ew.
Oh, yeah.
Gross.
Sending you the video right now.